Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced his azim kitab himself. Allah ta'ala has given us his kitab and introduced it to us himself. In other words, the Qur'an al-Hakim is that azim kitab, that great kitab, that before this no other ummah, no prophet was given such a kitab. And this is a reflection of the status of our prophet Habibullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah ta'ala revealed the Quran to him and Allah gave this kitab, the Quran, to the ummah. And Allah ta'ala explained the objective in the Quran as well. In just two words, Allah ta'ala explained the objective of this kitab. Very short, hudal linnas. Allah Ta'ala has stated that this kitab, the Qur'an al-Hakim, its real objective and purpose is not a story tales, is not tales or stories, a collection of events or for us to read, etc. No, Allah Ta'ala said no. The real purpose, the objective of the Qur'an is hidayat, is to guide, is to give hidayah. That's it. This is the real objective of the Quran. The other objectives and things that we earn and attain are secondary. Hifth and qiraat and recitation, etc. These are good things, but not primary objectives. And what we'll be asked about in the grave, the question that will be presented to us will be with regards to hidayah. It won't be asked in the grave that why were you not a hafidh? Why weren't you a hafidh or a qari? Or a reciter, etc. Every Muslim will be asked the same question. Now, how much amal did you do on the Qur'an? How much did you practice the Qur'an? So here, هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the kitab. Now, every human being, for every human being, there's hidayah, guidance from the Qur'an. Not from some special sect, or cult, or group, etc. Allah says this Qur'an was sent for the whole of humanity and mankind for hidayah, for guidance to mankind. And those who don't believe in Allah, this Qur'an is hidayah for them. And those who believe in many gods, this Qur'an is hidayah for them. And those who don't believe at all, and those who believe in many dozens of gods, this Qur'an is hidayah for them as well. And those who believe in one God, but they don't listen to this kitab. They believe in one God, but upon them there is that condition that they don't listen to their Rabb. Oh, this Quran is also hidayah for them. And those people who believe in Allah as one, God as one, who listen to Allah, and this Quran is hidayah for them as well. So in other words, hidayah, guidance, is for every single human being out there. Every single, no differentiation. Hidayah is for everybody. Allah Ta'ala says that the hidayah guidance will come via the Quran to everyone. To the person who doesn't believe, from this same kitab, read this kitab, he will believe that Allah is one. Those people who believe in thousands of gods or hundreds of gods, this same kitab will explain to that person, and then one day he will call out that, ah, truly, there aren't many gods, really, there's just one God. And that person, that group that believes in Allah, and believes in one Allah, in one God, but doesn't listen to Allah, doesn't obey Allah, this Quran is hidayah for them as well. The Quran will also give guidance to that person in such a way they will say, Allah, that I believe in you and I listen to you. And then the other group, the fourth, that believes and listens to Allah, subhanallah. Subhanallah, what will this group be? This group, Allah Ta'ala will give this group hidayah. And they will have hidayah ma'rifah. The nearness to Allah, irfan, the extreme closeness to Allah. So every person will get the levels of hidayah guidance from this Qur'an. Now this is something we need to understand. This is a point we really need to understand here. That there's nothing that can give us hidayah except the Qur'an. If we want hidayah, obviously whoever there is in the world will be a member of these three or four groups, isn't it? There's no other group. There's not many other groups. So we now need to decide which group do we belong to at the moment, so we can realize what we need to do. Allahu Akbar. So then this kitab, the Qur'an, it gives hidayah, guidance to mankind, to a human being, to everyone of us. It will give guidance and assistance. Now what is hidayah? Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for obtaining hidayah, guidance, only the things that Allah ta'ala has mentioned, all of the ayat and the verses. If we summarize the whole Quran, all of the chapters, it's summarized and sealed in Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, the first chapter of the Quran. There was a great pious predecessor who passed away, Hazrat Thanwi, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi, rahimullah, and from one of his ajal khulafa, his great khalifas, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullah alayhi, and Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Madazal Ali, this was his sheikh as well. This is where Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib obtained instruction. And he said about this silsila with regards to the guidance. And he stated that hidayah is in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given his mercy and fadl and blessings with regards to hidayah. That how can we obtain hidayah? And the whole Quran summary is placed where? In Surah Al-Fatiha. So in Surah Fatiha, the whole of the summary of the Quran, if a person wants to attain hidayah, then he can learn how to obtain hidayah. And he stated this, Hazrat Ghulam Dr. Abdul Hayy rahmatullah alayhi. He's saying, I'm not saying this. So he said that first three verses in Surah Al-Fatiha, the first three verses, they tell us the first part about hidayah for guidance. And then the second set of verses. So the first three verses tell us about hidayah. And then there's the verses 4, 5, 6. So the two sets of verses. The first three and the second three. In both sets, in these six verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained how to obtain hidayah, which is also present in the rest of the Quran. Also, so in Surah Fatiha, in these six verses, Allah ta'ala summarized the methodology for that in the first three and in the second set of three. So let's read them. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din. These are the first three verses. Allah ta'ala says in these three verses, what do we learn? What is Allah mentioning? What do we see? That Allah ta'ala's praise, hamd and thana, in other words, dhikr Allah. That's what we're doing in these three verses. What is the hint we're getting? The direction, the remembrance of Allah we get from these three verses. So he stated, the first step to obtaining hidayah, the means, the method is what? Dhikr Allah. Aha. So the whole Quran, the summary of the Quran, you can say, is these first three verses. What's the first point? How do we attain hidayah? Guidance, dhikr Allah. Remember this point. Very important action, dhikr Allah. Allah's remembrance. Yes? And the person who takes hold of the dhikr of Allah, my friends, with firmness. Firmness, alhamdulillah, due to the barakah of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has promised in the Quran that the doors, the paths to hidayah will open up for that person. Every person who's off track, doesn't matter which group he or sector he belongs to, like those groups we just mentioned, those groupings of people, the person who takes hold of the dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, then he will not remain misguided. He will attain the path. He will, or she will attain the path. The reason today that we have the condition that befalls us is because we have left this tariqah. We have the Quran, we see it. The Quran tells us it's not a new kitab, it's Quran. Alhamdulillah. But he was arifin, he was arif billah. And he, in some way, he delivered the message to the people that we, the actions we are doing and the deen that we've learned from such a great sheikh. And there was no other maqsad or objective. The objective was that we were also in a certain group. And we realized by sitting with the awliya, with the wali, with the sheikh, with the pious person in the sohbat, take hold of the dhikr of Allah so you can come into hidayah, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shade of Allah is there. So my friends, this is a big point. Every insan has a weakness, and the biggest weakness that today is in the ummah, my friends, the biggest weakness, which is the ruh. What is that? Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the soul of our deen is the biggest weakness of the deen. By just embracing the Quran, there's no benefit. By just looking at the Quran and embracing it, or kissing it, and doing khatam on it, or decorating it, or printing it, or putting light around it, there's no benefit of the Quran. Now, the benefit of the Quran, the main message of the Quran, the main one, وَأَتِيُوا اللَّهِ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That's it. That if somebody wants to see that, am I on the path of guidance? Am I doing the right thing? There are many things that people think, oh yeah, I'm praying, fasting, doing hajj, paying zakah, and doing umrah. All of these things, we see these things, don't we? So, if a person, everyone's following his taste. Everyone's practicing. If somebody likes hajj, he goes to hajj every year, because that's his taste that's developed. Somebody likes umrah, he keeps on going on umrah regularly through the year. Somebody likes Quran, and all day and night he'll read Quran. Somebody likes nawafil, voluntary salah, he'll be busy in nawafil salah. Yes, sadaqah, paying charity, giving charity, then he'll be busy in that. But Allah Ta'ala says that you can do what you want. You can do what you want. You can do whatever actions you want. That's your taste. But what is my taste is one that imitate my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say subhanallah again. Say subhanallah again. That a person who develops this practice of sibqat Allah, the person on whom this color takes effect, the color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then consider that person has come onto the path of hidayah by following the sunnah. And if we don't have hidayah, then consider the shaitan and nafs have encircled us, trapped us, and when we open our eyes, the eyes will open in the qabr and we'll realize the reality. Now, such a person, for coming onto the path of guidance, is very hard today to practice the sunnah. For example, you can speak for 10 hours on Islam, go to functions and conferences and have big debates and everything will occur. But when it comes to practicing sunnah, then everybody will leave from the back door. From the back door. From the back exit. For such a person, there are two solutions. Either wait and accept the adab, wait for and accept the punishments of the hereafter, because we cannot answer this on the day of judgment. When Allah will ask in the grave, that who is this person? Allah will show an image. What do you know about this man? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that those who didn't practice sunnah in this world, then they will be dumb in the grave. They will not be able to reply. Today, we think it's hard. We think it's easy. If someone asks me, Man Rabbuka, Man Rasulukum, who is your Allah, who is your Nabi? But the person who didn't listen to Allah and didn't listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then in the grave, he will be dumb. He will not be able to speak from the tongue. Today it's easy. We can say, Allah is my Lord, and children can answer the question, who is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But we need to prepare for the grave, because that life will be different. The language will be different. The life will be different. The style will be different. The method will be different. And those who ask, the examiners will be different in the grave and thereafter. So such a big deception will be unraveled in the grave. Such a big illusion. And if only that illusion unravels today, and we put the Quran in front of us and understand that which group am I in today, day, and what do I need to do to get on the path of success, and which path am I following at the moment? Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? It's right, isn't it? So I'm just explaining here that Allah Ta'ala has told us the path. Now if we come off that path, we can do what we want according to our desires. But the path that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned to us, the methodology, if we don't follow that, if we don't follow the deen according to Allah Ta'ala's desire, then we cannot be successful. And Allah's desire and preference is that which was the life of the Sahaba Ikram, Tabi'in, 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 Awliya Allah, all of the pious predecessors who have passed before us, Deoband, all of our Waqabirin, look at their lifestyle and look at the one thing that sparkled from their life, which was the practice on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was their tabligh, this was their lifestyle, this was their breathing, whether they call people to the deen via tasawwuf or Quran or madaris or Islamic teaching institutes, their dawah was one, their objective was one, that follow and practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do his ittaba, because without the sunnah there is no chance of success. So if a person accepts, me, you, all of us accept, that this is lacking in me, that I'm not practicing the sunnah, very few sunnahs in my life, then don't stay in the darkness of your other actions. Fulfill this big gap. What does the Quran say? To attain hidayah, first thing we have to do, dhikr Allah. Do dhikr Allah, and then you will plug the gap. So in that position, we should accept Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. We should do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, his remembrance. That's it. Consider that I am a marid, I am ill, and if I don't have the courage, determination or strength, obviously the person who's sick, he doesn't have the strength, all his cell, battery cells, his power has gone down, his energy has gone down, machinery has gone down, recharging has gone down. As soon as you speak about the sunnah, he starts to sweat. When you explain about a sunnah action, the person's, his hands start to shake, he leaves that place, he doesn't want to hear. He said, what is this waste of time discussion? How can this be part of the deen? This is not Islam. And to testify with him, the whole of the generation society will stand with him. But Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala says that as long as the Quran is here, the doors and the paths to hidayah will be open. And if the Quran will continue until when? Qiyamah, judgment day. So until Qiyamah, remember, Allah Ta'ala will not close the door to hidayah, nor will the Quran be removed, nor will the path of hidayah be removed from the face of the earth. And if Allah Ta'ala says there are paths for attaining a hidayah, then the way to attain hidayah will not end. And what is that? Dhikr Allah. And it's why stated in hadith that Qiyamah will not come if there is a person on the world doing the dhikr of Allah. Qiyamah will not come. It will not come. Because dhikr, if it goes from the face of the earth, then hidayah will go. The means to hidayah will go. Through which we are to attain hidayah. The Quran came to explain to us. The Quran came to teach us. The Quran came to guide us. He's given us a reference for everything. And it's explaining the events of the previous nations. If we see in the Quran, go into the tafsir of Quran, commentary in the Quran, what will we learn from that? Those people who did not obey the Prophet in their time, the previous prophets, those nations who left their Prophet, Allah gave them severe punishments. Allah destroyed them. Allah removed them from the earth. What was their sin that gave them the punishment? And then Allah mentions again, and Allah mentions again, they didn't obey their Prophet. Allah Ta'ala says, now the Quran has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you believe in him. So tell me now, Allah says, that you will not follow him, you will not obey him, you will reject him, you will make excuses not to practice his deen, you will seek for other paths. This is impossible, Allah Ta'ala says. The where should we go? Where does Allah Ta'ala want us to go? That you can go to any corner of the world, to the poles, to the Arctic, within the crust of the earth, still dunya. You can go and live in the ocean, in the seas. Allah says, I can write your rizq on an island. But wherever you go, if you are a Muslim, Allah says, then the Quran, masjid, you have to take them with you and take the message which is within the Quran and the masjid. Doesn't matter which part of the world you're in, Allah says, I am the one who will give rizq, wealth. Nobody can stop us. They are all excuses. This all fraud. I live in this country, you live in this country, and if we have a bit of determination, then we will attain something, won't we? That's where, yes, we're a little bit weak, and there are many people millions of times over who are better than us. We are jahil, we have no amal, I have no amal, no practice, but we are feeling the guilt. It's not because we're good and we do amal, we're crying and feeling remorse, because such a great Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we know his guidance is the best. So we should stay in the sohbat of a person who has amal, and we have got some response to that. That life I spent with my husband, Alhamdulillah, he gave me taqwiyat, and I was taught how to breathe. Because we haven't learnt anything beyond that, but we've realized with regards to deen, especially, that where we are wrong and where we are right. This is the shu'ur. But if a person doesn't have shu'ur and understanding and doesn't understand, he says, "Summun bukumun umyum fahum la rijun." This is for someone else. Then you are Muslim, me. What is my guidance? I don't do amal. Has this verse not come for me? Or is this verse for other people? Which amal are we doing? That we have Quran with us. We have Quran. So the first point that we've been taught, the first point, dhikr Allah. If we feel there's weakness, and we know the mirror for weakness, what is that? Ittiba, imitation of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where we get the hukum to do ittiba, and the time has come for us to practice, and it's time for us, and we leave it, and we present our references and excuses. I am this, I don't have to do this, this is not necessary, this is not essential. No reference, there's only one reference, then it's deception. You are deceiving your life, you are deceiving yourself. When you seek excuses, not to practice sunnah. So what should we do? Go to a wali of Allah, true sheikh, learn dhikr. Who is saying this? As a hakim ul ummat, his great khalifa, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy rahmatullah alayh. That do dhikr of Allah, and this is his qawl, and you will plug the gap and you will practice the sunnah. Look at this point. So we understand one thing about hidayah. This is the summary. If we want to attain hidayah, what's the first thing? Dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah. Now the second ajeeb thing, my brothers, is something we need to think about. The second set of three verses in Surah Al-Fatiha. Look here where the vision of the walis of Allah goes. We also read Quran, but they also read Quran. What is their thinking and reflection and pondering of the Quran? So the first three verses give us the direction of dhikr Allah. And the second set of three verses are very essential for us to practice, that they will get us so close to Allah. And we are so weak in this. We are so weak that we it's laughter. That is this something to be weak about? Is this something to be, well, look at that, you start laughing, that is this something to be weak about? We are leaving this, we are so far from Allah, we are leaving this practice, because deen is not far from Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. So in reality, we aren't far from Allah. When did Allah say I'm far from you? Allah Ta'ala didn't say this. Whatever Allah says, that's what occurs, isn't it? So Allah is close to us. So we have become far from Allah. We have gone far from Allah. We have left Allah. So what do we need to do? That we need to get close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We need to get close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What is the methodology for that? Why? First was dhikr Allah, to plug the gap of the sunnah. And secondly, Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you the second method, and that's in the second set of three verses in Surah Al-Fatiha, verses 4, 5 and 6. إِيَّكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّكَ نَسْتَعِينَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. This is verses 4, 5 and 6. What is Allah saying here? That in these three verses, Allah says there's one message emanating. إِيَّكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّكَ نَسْتَعِينَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. What is this? These old du'as and kalimat. Du'as. Prayers. First was what? Hamd and sana, praising Allah, dhikr Allah, remembering Allah. And second verse, set of verses is dua, prayer, supplication. This is it. This is the action that we're missing to attain hidayah. That to get hidayah, what's the second action? Dua, prayer. Prayer to Allah. Why? Because in that person whose heart, he doesn't have the jazbah for hidayah, who doesn't want hidayah, he won't do dua for that. When will he say, Allah, allow me to practice the sunnah, give me the imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? His ideology will be, yeah, it's not necessary. I don't need this. Why do I need to do dua? The person in his mind, in his brain, he doesn't have ahmiyat, importance to sunnah, then what dua will he make? He doesn't accept that he needs to practice something or have something, then he won't ask for it. And how important is dua? How important is dua? That what is the link of dua to our lives? Listen to this carefully. My brothers, the dua that we do, this is not the glasses, or this is not the vision, or this is not the practice that we need to look through. The few actions we do dua for example, we prayed farad, we did dua after farad, after salah, we do dua. And in the big nights, we do dua. And we redo the Quran, we do after that. After dhikr Allah, we do dua. We do hifz of Quran, we do dua. Khatam al Quran, we do khatam of Bukhari Sharif, we do dua. This is how we do dua, isn't it? We think that dua is accepted these times. It's just link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that it? Such a weak link. In the whole Quran, Allah ta'ala says that this is the means to my hidayah. Dua. Prayer. Dua. And hidayah, the means to Allah ta'ala's guidance is dua. Prayer. And we have a big void in our lives. Very seldom and few and far between do we do dua. There's such a small link we have with Allah, and dua is such an action that it's such an excellent link Allah Ta'ala has created dua, that nothing else creates that link except for dua. Nothing else creates such a strong link. When we do dua after the fard salah, who are we asking dua from? Who? Allah. From Allah. We have yaqeen, isn't it, that Allah is there. We know Allah is listening. We know Allah Ta'ala will give to us. So tell me then, how can we get to, what more can we do to get closer to Allah? The dua makes a person so close to his Rabb, or Rabb, that when a person is asking, doing dua, and the hands are raised, and there's nobody next to that person, nobody listening, and quietly, quietly he's speaking to Allah, his Lord and Creator. We're asking Allah, isn't it? Then we see that in that position, think of that position of that man or woman and their Rabb, that we think and believe that we are asking and Allah is listening. We have this yaqeen, don't we? So how foolish are we, men? I say this, I ask for forgiveness before I say this. That is this all we ask for from Allah? That's our need and that's the end of it? This is the link we have with Allah? Ask a question. That we have lost our way. We are in reverse gear. That our rope of life is in whose control? Allah's. We accept that Allah Ta'ala is in control of our life. Isn't it? I cannot stand up unless Allah Ta'ala allows me to. I cannot toss and turn. I cannot change my position if Allah Ta'ala doesn't want me. I cannot breathe if Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give me breath. I cannot eat. There are thousands of excuses of life. There are many people who can't raise their hands to eat. They have a stroke. They are screaming, my hand doesn't rise. And there are many thousands of examples that the morsel of food goes to the mouth and he has a pain, and that morsel of food falls down. The person passes away. We are dependent on who? Allah. Allah's force and energy and power and permission is behind every action. So we think we do only do dua after praying salah, 5, 10, 15 minutes, and then we forget Allah for the rest of the day and night. That who will allow us to leave the masjid? Allah. Say loudly, who? Allah. Who will allow us to reach home safely? Allah. Have you not ever thought that a man left his home, he went home to the masjid, he was going home and he had an accident and passed away? Have you heard this? He was leaving home, the masjid, he went home, he was driving, he had an accident and he died. You've heard this, haven't you? Or is there a special place to die? These are the events of life. These are the occasions when people die. Outside, at home, inside, somewhere else. But we leave the opportunities of life. Rather, what should happen? On every requirement of ours, we should do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the link with Allah. For example, you've just prayed salah after salah, you leave the masjid, and you say in your heart, every time in the day, don't worry, you don't have to raise your hands. Rather, the heart should be present in Allah Ta'ala's court all the time. You have to move your tongue and say with intention, Allah, I've now left your house, the masjid, Allah, protect me and allow me to reach home safely. So, Allah, is this a small dua? Is this a small prayer? Is this a minor dua? Tell me, who are you speaking to? Allah, who will take us on? I don't say this, you don't say this. We leave the masjid, sit in the car, and we drive. Subhanallah, what a relationship we have with Allah, our Lord. What a weird relationship. Look, you are leaving home. Another example. We are going shopping. We know we have to go shopping, and then we will pay and bring the shopping in the bags and come home. It's not that easy. When we leave home, we should say, Allah, totally like this. Allah, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, rahmatullahi, said, Hazrat Mufti, Taqi Sahib Muddazul Ali, Damat Barakatum, said that, he said, my father was there with Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi is Khalifa. He had an Ashik Murid, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Saab, Rahmatullahi, the father of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Saab. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Saab, Rahmatullahi, he was a Khalifa and a very devoted student of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat. And he said that one day the hal of our Shaykh was so much, he said, I saw my Shaykh, that he said that my life, he said, Shafi, Hazrat Mulana Shafi Ali Thanwi, they said, oh Shafi, it seems to me like I'm getting guidance on everything from Allah. He said that it looks like everything Allah Ta'ala is explaining to me and advising to me. It doesn't seem that I'm doing anything out of my own desires. So when a person's every second and life and word is given over to Allah, assigned to Allah, I've sat in the car, Allah, please allow me to drive safely and let me get home safely so there's no accident on the way. Now you don't have to learn all the du'as in Arabic. You should keep such a link with Allah, just like a child keeps a link with his mother or her mother. Isn't it? Now if we get into this game, formalities, I don't know Arabic, I need to learn that du'as in Arabic. Allah Ta'ala says, you don't need to have Arabic, learn Arabic to do du'a to me. You can do it in any language. Allah knows all the languages. If we make a link and association with Allah, that none of our needs, for example, we're lying in bed, and you're turning side to side. When your eye is open, when you turn side to side, you say, Allah, please allow me to turn side to side easily so I can see a nice dream. And I don't get disturbed. Such a deep link with Allah, our Rabb, the insan. And Hazrat said this, that this is such a great link. Number one, that all our masail, all our problems and issues and obstacles, every second, if we keep on speaking to Allah through the day, keep on asking from Allah, discussing with Allah, having a dialogue with Allah, then the question doesn't arise that human being will have problems. Does it? What a beautiful point we've just learned. Think about it. And this is the summary of the whole Quran. What? Allah Ta'ala says, do my dhikr and ask from me. I am your Rabb, your Lord. When these two things come into your life, then what human being will there be who says that I am not close to Allah? Who will there be in the world? That person can never stay far from Allah. Who's asking and Allah is giving. That so qareeb will become the relationship that you are asking and Allah is giving. You are asking and Allah is giving. To this point that you realize and you feel that, yes, I am saying and Allah, I'm asking and Allah is giving to me. I'm asking and Allah is giving to me. Subhanallah. So my brothers, this is a very, you can say, great and significant point and the statement of a great alim I presented to you. A great sheikh and a pious elder in our deen, and alhamdulillah, this is very beneficial for us. That if we bring these two things into our life, one is number one. So what was number one? To attain, so first point we discussed was that we need the path to hidayah to open up for us. And how do we do that? To practice the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. This is hidayah itself. Everything else is deception and darkness. Allah Ta'ala says that I will soften your heart. I will instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam into your heart. That everything, his tariqah, his method, you will start to practice it through the dhikr of Allah. And secondly, doing dua. Every word, every action, every moment, every second, every stage during the day and night is such that we are not leaving the connection with Allah. For example, I've washed my hands and then I take water in the glass, say, Allah, give me this water to drink. Allah, give me cure through this water. Do we have this link? No, we don't have this link. I'll tell you the truth. That we think that water, I'll stand or I'll just drink it. And sometimes what happens, a person drinks water inside, there's an insect or a spider or a scorpion. Some people have died after they drank water, they died. They were contaminated and they died. Does this not happen? So a person should realize, Allah, you are the supreme controller. You are my Rabb. Allah, you've given me this water. Allah, allow the water to go into my stomach, into my body safely, and allow me to attain shifa, cure from the water. You're leaving home. Every second you're speaking to Allah, discussing with Allah, communicating with Allah, because everything's in Allah's hands. Allah, I cannot feel sleep. I'm not getting sleep. Allah, give me the feel of sleepiness so I can sleep. Allah, I've got a stomach upset. Allah, correct my stomach because my food is not digesting. Subhanallah. Now a person's ashamed. Oh, shall I say this to Allah? Subhanallah. Why are we ashamed? All the shame is coming out of our life if we are close to Allah. Allah, I'm going home. And Dr. Abdul Haisab, rahmatullah, said that you're going home. You say, Allah, I'm going home, and allow me to go home nicely, and so I don't have an argument with my wife, and I get some nice food. Subhanallah, is this a little dua? You go home, and suddenly the slipper goes, dung, onto your head. Is this a good thing? And there's no food, and there's a clash, an argument, and a fight. This is not good, is it? Because wife sent you to buy something, you didn't buy that thing, you didn't come back, and instead of that, then you get a first class introduction when you come home. After working all day long, you're tired. But secondly, if you have a habit of asking from Allah, Allah, allow love to come into my home, home, and so I have a good relationship with my wife, and there's sakina and coolness in our hearts, and I get good food, everything will be nice. You'll get a nice food, a nice reception, salam. Her heart will have been changed, and your life will become like Jannah. Your house will become like Jannah. Why? Because you have made an attachment with Allah. And here we don't like to do dua to Allah. And this is takabbur, pride. Hazrat said that there's no bigger takabbur than this, is there? That you don't even want to ask Allah for assistance. You will take the argument from your wife, you will take a scolding and feedback, and you will have extra spices in your food, but you don't want to ask from Allah. That's why there are arguments in our homes, because Allah Ta'ala's blessing doesn't come to us just on the small things. Oh, we just leave it, okay? If the wife is arguing, you say, okay, that's no problem, leave it. We say, oh, it's alright, I don't need to ask Allah for these small things. We think that Allah Ta'ala hasn't got the capacity to give to us. Allah says, ask from me, I will give to you, and I won't just give to you. You will see my qurb, my nearness, that how close have I become to you, subhanAllah. That how do I make you my friend, Allah Ta'ala says. And big, big actions of worship fail on this point, I tell you. Big, big actions of worship fail. Wallahi. This is the link. Such a beautiful relationship with Allah. You understand what I'm saying? So this is it. Let's make the lifestyle for me and for you. We were very far behind. We've wasted our lives, haven't we? That we took the scolding from people, the bad feedback from people. I've gone somewhere in the world and I have a formal task, something I need him to agree with me. Allah, I'm going to meet this person and I have a requirement that this person to assist me. Allah, put into that person's heart for him to help me so I can succeed on my visit. This is the link we should have with Allah. Such confidence will come into our life. Not one need should there be. Not one need. Can there be any smaller need than this that I've just explained to you? There shouldn't be one need that we don't ask from Allah. I'm sitting and say, Allah, I've got a pen. You are the one who's allowing me to write with this pen. Allow me to write properly. You're going to your shop. Allah, I'm going to my shop. Allah, I've got a lot of bad stock. Allah, protect my business so my stock is sold and I don't have a debt on my head and I can come back and count the takings nicely. Our hands, they shake. Our face, our mouths, our lips. We can't make these move. Who makes them move? Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's nobody who has power except Allah. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? So this is the method of get close to Allah. Whichever chilla are we going to do to get close to Allah? Tell me. Whatever striving or effort, you have to go and leave the town, go to the jungle or hang upside down from a mountain branch to get close to Allah. Allah says, why are you going to such extremities? Allah says, attain my qurb so much that I will feed you, I'll give you sweet and delicacies, and you'll get close to me as well at the same time. Subhanallah. Do you have to go on chilla and make effort and go in the jungle isolation and tear your clothes and live in difficulty and have no food or drink? And you're seeking Allah. The yogis do this. They leave their food, they fast, and they do extreme actions, physical actions, go and hang upside down from a tree, and they control the jinn and magic, etc. This is not the quality of a Muslim. How does a Muslim attain Allah's nearness? Via ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Practice this on eating, drinking, sleeping, fasting, wife, children, business, tijara, home, outside, everything, and that is all ibadah. All worship, all of that is what? Ibadah. Worship. This is the status of a mu'min. And our ibadah has been just left in the masjid. And the people don't come into the masjid, then we don't have no ibadah. They think that the person who doesn't go to the masjid, he doesn't have ibadah. In other words, we have concealed the whole of Islam in the masjid. And what about business and lifestyle and family? No. They say, no. That look, I've never seen this person come to the masjid. He has no ibadah, we say. He has no worship. I don't see him in the masjid. He's not a believer. How can this be? Maybe the person who's in the masjid, his ibadah is not accepted. Maybe he's gone to the masjid to get a loan and ask for dunya from people. He hasn't gone there for salah. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept. So one part of our life, which is ibadah, worship, and just it's 5 or 10 minutes going to the masjid. That's it. We have the permission to pray fard in the masjid. That's it. We don't have permission, go to the masjid, do wudu, and have a bath in the masjid, then have a ghusl, and waste time. No, this is totally wrong. Using the resources of the masjid is incorrect. Do wudu at home, prepare for salah, have a bath at home. This masjid, the wudu in the masjid, this is for a musafir, a journeyman, a traveler. It is not permissible to utilize the resources of the masjid. Ask the ulama. This is the house of Allah. This is the house of Allah. And on every two footsteps that we see that person, for example, he's doing wrong. And we see the person, he lives just 2-3 yards from the masjid, a few footsteps from masjid. And he's leaving home, pulling up his cuffs and his sleeves to do wudu at the masjid. Why? You're at home, you have the water, and you have hot water, and you want to utilize the masjid's hot water and resources. The masjid is for the musafir, the wudu area, for the people who are coming from far and wide. So never go to the masjid if you live close to the masjid, a few footsteps away, a few yards away. If the sunnah has come into your life, then you have understanding that how should I go to the masjid, how should I sit in the masjid, how should I practice in the masjid. And the masjid gives us a teaching of 5 minutes deen, 10 minutes deen, pray farad, that's it, 5-10 minutes, leave the masjid, go and pray nafil at home, sunnah at home. Switch the lights off in the masjid. This is the house of Allah. Save the money. They say, do you understand what I'm saying? So brothers, this is 10 minutes of deen in the masjid. The rest of the day and night is out of the masjid. So if you are a tajir, a businessman, if you're leaving, you're promising somebody, you love somebody, or you've got a relationship with somebody, or create a link with somebody, all of this deen is outside of the masjid. And it's a high form of ibadah. High form of ibadah. Allah Ta'ala speaks about ibadah here. They may be weak in the masjid. Allah says, I will forgive you. But haqooqul ibadah, the rights to society and worship of society, then they get heights close to Allah by practicing properly. And if you don't practice, then the punishment is more severe. That if a person is caught by Allah and Allah says, I punish you due to not fulfilling the rights to society, Allah says, go and ask for forgiveness from that person himself. What will happen on the day of Hashr? First and foremost, a person will be called, you will be Amir. Rich person from the world. Wealthy in terms of amal, deeds. He'll have a lot of amal. And when hisab will start, after he'll be free from hisab, there'll be no one more poor than that person. He'll be poor, poverty. All his deeds will have left him lying, deception, fraud, cheating a person, taking the person's money, usurping his property, oppression. He did this with a car. He had an accident with a person. He scratched his car. He did this. He scolded. He swore a person. All of our deen is outside of the masjid. We don't consider this as ibadah. As worship, my brothers, this is more important. This is all sunnah of the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This will come into his ittiba. And the person who doesn't have ittiba, he doesn't know deen. So we realize if he doesn't have hidayah, we need two things for hidayah. This is the sabak for today, isn't it? Today's lesson, memorize it. For hidayah, guidance, we need two things. What are they? Say it loudly. What are they? Say it loudly again. Dhikr Allah. We need dhikr Allah. So where do we get dhikr from? Allah Ta'ala's wadi, the friends of Allah. Isn't it? From his sohbah, from his company, sit with them and learn zikr from him. From the wali, from the sheikh. Have a connection with him. Have a link with him. Why? Because when a person goes to a teacher, then his biggest idol drops from his mind. Why don't we go to the walis of Allah, friends of Allah? Because we have idols inside us. Kibr. Pride. I'm better than everyone. I'm fine. I've got a good deen. I know more than this person. Why do I need to go to a sheikh? We think, I know all the dhikr. I know all the juz of the Quran. I'm a hafiz. I'm an alim. I don't need to learn from a sheikh. The biggest idol of kibr. And that's why people are sent to the wali of Allah, so that the first idol, it crumbles. It drops. We have to make it drop. We have to accept that it's not necessary. We have to sit there in the company of the wali of Allah. We have to make an ustad, a teacher. So the first sabak, the first lesson, the idol breaks and drops. The first lesson with the sheikh, the idol drops and breaks. And Allah Ta'ala has kept an ajeeb lesson him. Those same kalam, as we said, I know they had no effect. When a person makes a connection with the wali of Allah and the wali instructs and gives the lesson to the student, then those same verses start to take effect on that student. Test this. And there are examples all around the world in front of you. In the whole world, you'll see examples of this. Hazrat Khalifa Mazub Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Tanwi Rahmatullahi is Khalifa, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat. He had a Khalifa and he was a ajeeb, great Khalifa. He was a collector and he was a big officer in his time. But Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib said, Madhuzul Ali, he said that he was such a personality, that he was so immersed in the love of his Shaykh, his Hazrat, that no one from the rest of the Murids had such a link. He was an ashik, strong lover of his Shaykh. And people used to see that, how does he meet his Shaykh? That he used to be so, mashallah, cautious and with adab in front of his teacher. And he would attain Khilafat, he was a deputy. Despite all of that, he had extreme manners and adab. And he said himself, he wasn't an alim. He wasn't a scholar, but the great ulama used to come and sit in his footsteps, and they used to reach to his majlis when he used to speak, because he had irfan, the nearness to Allah. Alhamdulillah, his chest, his heart had opened up. So he says, he has a statement, he says that here, I used to think that the enjoyment, to attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to feel the peace, it's too difficult, he said. And his couplet, I can't remember that, his verses now. He said, I thought that it's very difficult for me to open up and get to Allah Ta'ala and to follow the path to get to Allah. He said, his verses that he wrote, the poems are very famous. He said, I thought I had to do this and I had to do this and this action. I was afraid and scared. How will I get close to Allah? How will I attain Allah's nearness? But he said, Subhanallah. When I attained Allah Ta'ala, Hazrat Sobat, then I didn't see anything easier than this. The whole deen became easy for me. Subhanallah, such a beautiful couplet poem. It's not coming to my mind. He said, my whole deen became easy. That what a great personality, that he's made my deen so easy for me. And I thought it was hard. I thought it was difficult. The walis of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has kept such an effect in the company of the wali of Allah. So the same way person goes in isolation, wazifa, chilla. My friends, three words of the shaykh will tell us, one kalima will tell us, according to our capacity, will become your dhikr, he will teach you, and the doors, the routes, the paths to hidayah will open up. What an easy deen we have, what an easy deen. But the reason is, who will go there, who will sit with them, I am this, I am that, I am pious. Oh, so many stories we make up. No amal, no practice, no deeds, nothing. And we deceive ourselves, my friends, we deceive ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala allow our eyes to open, that we can reflect that which category of the deen am I in, which group am I attached to, related to, and do I need hidayah or not? So if I have the need for hidayah, then remember these 2 points today. The first, take hold of the dhikr of Allah with strength and conviction. And number two, every second of the life, whatever action we're doing, we should pray to Allah, do dua, that Allah allow us to do this, start practicing today. I will do this as well. That anything that knock on the other doors after, first we ask from who? There's a stomachache, Allah, I have a stomachache, Allah help me. Not that I have to do wudu and pray salah. No, Allah Ta'ala says that you don't have this link with me. You don't have to do this, you are my servant. Call to me from wherever you are, whatever condition you're in. Stand, grow up in the tree, yeah? Climb the tree and ask me from there. Allah says, no problem. There's no parda, there's no veil between you and me, Allah says. There's no veil, Allah Ta'ala says, that you can ask me wherever you are. Allah, I've got a stomachache. That once I had a stomachache, I thought that let me test this. I'm telling you the truth, I speak from experience. So I'd speak from experience to you, honest truth. I had a stomachache and a headache, and I was in the masjid. There was a majlis gathering, and it was a dhikr majlis. And I remember those words of Hazrat at that time. I said, Allah, I've got a stomachache, people are sitting, what shall I do now? I said, in my heart, after a second, the stomach pain went. It disappeared. And I couldn't even move due to the severe pain. Just a few days ago, we sat in dhikr, fajr, salah, and I had a muscle pulled in my back. I said, I felt ashamed that how will people pick me up, Allah? Will people have to pick me up at the end? Just a few days ago, I can't even move. The total, it was like a back spasm. It was hard for me to move. I know that I'm not young, and I think I'm young. I'm not old, I'm strong, and my muscles are fine. That was a young life. I think I'm young now, and I was old before. Wasn't I? I'm young now. Subhanallah. So Allah, people are doing dhikr, and I'm sitting, and dhikr is about to end. I can't even move. I have to pray shirak. I can't even move from it. Totally, this was my position. Suddenly came to my point. Ajib man. Why don't you speak to Allah? And asked from Allah. I said, Allah, that Allah, my back is going, and I have to pray shirak. People will laugh at me. And will they pick me up? I can't even stand up. Suddenly my back improved, and I was fine. The pain went. So speak to Allah. The walis of Allah who have told us, advised us, prescribed us, have told you my two personal experiences. From my life experience, the truth. There's nothing in life that cannot give us ease. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And there are thousands of events like this. I'm thinking that I can't go today. The question doesn't arise. Oh, let me phone. I can't go to the majlis today. Let me phone. Totally, I tell you the truth. I was thinking like this. Many Thursdays, I'm lying down in my bed and I'm ill and I've got a fever temperature and I'm sweating. Drenched in sweat. And I say, let me speak to Allah. What is this, Allah? That is just 10 minutes left. Thursday night, people are coming. And to this point, I've not left. Then I get up, I do wudu. Allah, it's your job to take me. Allah, please take me. And I will do the whole dhikr. And nobody knows my hal, my illness. Subhanallah. So these three personal experiences I've shared with you for taqwiyat. After today, we ask for from whom for everything? From Allah. Then after, we go to Dr. Hakim. That's after, secondary. That's Allah's hikmah, that He'll give us the cure through them. Not always. Yes, this is the hikmah of Allah. Sometimes Allah wants to elevate somebody's status. Allah Ta'ala extends the pain. And due to the sins, Allah as well, that Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give him more pain, more hours. Even then we ask from whom? Allah. From who? Allah has given a beautiful, what a great prescription and advice I've given to you today. And today we try, we do dhikr, we sit down, tahajjud, ishraq, we're doing dhikr, and my brothers, the sheets we've got, tracking sheets, morning and night, we do this, don't we? And why? Why do we do this? Because we want Allah Ta'ala's qurb. We want Allah's nearness, isn't it? This is what we want. Or do we want to become a wali of Allah? Yes, or do we want to float in the air? No, we don't want this, do we? MashaAllah, good. We want that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us and our akhirah becomes good. That's why we're doing all of this, isn't it? So that Allah becomes pleased with us, Allah is qareeb and close to us. All of this effort. So we're doing so much effort. Why don't we do this? Why don't we start speaking to Allah, subhanAllah? Allah Ta'ala says that you will get more qurb through this. More closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we ask from Allah, think about Allah. So this is a beautiful, great secret that I've shared with you today. After today, start this. Whoever's listening, my students, wherever you are, do dhikr of Allah and ask from Allah for everything, every second of the day. Live an honest life. Live an honest life. A true life. Sincere life. Become honest. Don't be deceptive, a fraud or a cheat with who? With Allah. Be honest. Believe. Accept what are we lacking with a true heart. That where is success? In the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our face, our appearance, our libas, our appearance, nothing is, if our dhahir is not sunnah, then how will my batin, internal, be sunnah? If my dhahir matches with ghair, with something else which has no link with the sunnah, then tell me, what will I be inside? What drama? What impurities and darkness? So first, if my zahir is not correct, if my libas is not correct, if my form is not correct, my appearance is not correct, then I should understand that I'm on the wrong path, my friend. Why do you deceive yourself? Why do I deceive myself? Tomorrow I will get punishment for not accepting today. Today accept and do two actions. Feel the guilt. Remorse, go to the wali wala. Start doing the dhikr wala. And start doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Don't sit back. Don't be lazy, negligent. Oh no, no, I'm totally fine and I've forgiven, I've succeeded. No, we have to accept we are sick. Just consider yourself as sick, and a person who's sick, he cannot practice sunnah straight away. Like I gave you a few examples, he won't suddenly put the imam on and libas and keep the full beard, say from today. This is difficult for the person because he is in the hands of shaitan. So what does he need to do? First, he needs to start to do dhikr regularly and make his heart soft. And soft. And as soon as the heart becomes soft, then he has no need to hear the wa'ad and the lecture. Automatically, the person who has the true love in his heart, then he will follow the reaction of that love and he will see the realities in his life that are inside us. Do you understand what I'm saying? MashaAllah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.